Welcome to The Weekly Option, the podcast for people interested in trading stock options. Each week, we cover trade ideas and opportunities in the stock market right now. Whether you're a beginner, a professional, or just curious about options, this is the show for you. Let's get started. Welcome to The Weekly Option. I'm your host, Derek. Happy to have you guys tuning in with me once again. Let's get started. And as usual, if you have any questions, feel free to email me at eric@theweeklyoption.com. And definitely check out our website. There's some training, some videos as well that we posted on YouTube. And if I say anything in the show that is a little confusing or something like that, you're welcome to email me. Also, feel free to check out the videos that I posted on YouTube. They should really help you understand some of the spreads and some of the options that we take a look at on this show. So let's see what happened in the markets this week. Looks like the Dow was down about 116 points this week, ending the week at 24,715. And likewise, the S&P was down about 15 points, just shy of 15 points, finishing the week at 2712.97. So wasn't too crazy a week. I know this upcoming week, we'll see the minutes from the FOMC, the Federal Reserve Board meeting that happened a couple weeks ago. And that's always important because some of the wording that's used to describe the market or the current economy can really have a strong effect on what happens in the markets going forward. People are always looking to get a hint at what the Fed is going to do or what they're about to do. And trying to have a prediction of that is actually very relevant to the markets. And as well, we'll see consumer sentiment on Friday, which is always a good indication of what's going on in the economy from the retail and consumption perspective. This week, there are fewer companies that I follow, at least, that are going to be releasing earnings. So Monday's pretty light. On Tuesday, we'll hear from AutoZone, which is essentially sells, you know, oil and engine parts and car parts. So sort of like a retailer of car parts. We'll hear from Hewlett-Packard, the technology company, as well as Toll Brothers, the home company, home builder. On Wednesday, we'll hear from Sears, Target retailer, and then the energy company, NGL Partners, their energy private equity fund. And then on Thursday, we'll hear from Best Buy and Gap, so a couple more retailers. And then Friday, I kind of felt like was light as well. So with that being said, we will dive into the trade review from last week's trades. And if you guys are following, each week I present three trades that I'm looking at for the upcoming week. And then at the beginning of the show, I always talk about how they did. And most of the time, I have a few good options out there, a few good winners. And today is one of those humble pie moments. So it's not often that you'll hear folks like, I won't name names, but any of the talking heads that you can see on the big financial programs that suggest trades. It's rare that they come out and say, hey, I didn't do so hot, but that's the setup of this show. I talk about my results every week. So this week was not as lovely, but that happens. And again, one of the beauties of trading options is that normally you have, as long as you have enough time, there are other options that other trades that you can put on to either mitigate, meaning limit the losses so that you don't take the full loss, or possibly even turn a loss into a profit. I've done that so many different times in my career. So let's start off with the covered call that we mentioned last week. We were looking at Dick's Sporting Goods, and they were going to be announcing earnings. We looked at that stock, its symbol DKS. The stock was trading for $31.91. And today that stock is currently $31. So the stock fell just shy of a dollar. It fell 91 cents during this week. And we were looking at selling the June 31 call and collecting $1.40. Well, the positive on that is that that is actually making money. Selling that call makes money. And again, I told you when you sell that call, you actually are creating a $1.40 cushion for your stock. Now, that call has come on off just like we hoped. It came off 45 cents over the week. So we made money there, but we actually lost 91 cents on our stock. So when you look at having lost 91 cents on the stock and making 45 cents on the call, net net, we lost 46 cents because of the stock move down. We're still trading above the break-even point. And if you've listened to previous shows, I normally say if you are still above your break-even, you can decide to stay in and let this thing play out. You could easily buy in that call, the June 33 call for 95 cents and lock in a profit there, and then sell the June 31 call is one of the options that you can have for $1.65. If you do this, what you've done is you actually have rolled your strike lower. So we're going to, we will have locked in our 45 cent gain, but because we're also collecting a new, you know, $1.65 on the June 31 call, it actually increases our total to $2.10. So you now have created an even stronger cushion, for your stock. You've lowered your break-even point, and you turn this again into a winning trade overall for both the near and short term. And as you know, because we own the stock and we're selling a call against the stock, if the stock rallies and we end up capturing, you know, keeping our money and letting go of our stock, we're totally fine with that, because this is a covered call is really a yield enhancement. It's a way to make more money on stock that you already own. Or if you're starting this out as a new position, it's a way to make sure that you're making even more money on your stock while also giving yourself a little bit of cushion for a downside move. So that's it. You know, if you were just to completely close the position today, you're going to be down 46 cents because of the stock. But there's more time since we did this trade as a June trade. The expiration for June is June the 15th. We still have some time to make some money on this trade. And one of the things that I like, you can obviously sit still because technically we have not reached our break-even point in this trade and won't for another dollar lower, or roughly another 45 cents lower. But at the end of the day, if you roll the strike lower by buying in your June 33 call and then selling the lower strike, the June 31 call, and collecting $1.65 for that, you've created even more cushion, and you will have taken in $2.10 into your account when you look at the 45 cents you'll be locking in from the June 33 call, and also the $1.65 you'll receive when you sell that June 31 call. So that's it on that review. I still like the trade. I definitely would be lowering this, lowering that strike and collecting more premium. And again, if I went too quickly, feel free to listen to this again, or just email me at eric@theweeklyoption.com, and I'll be happy to walk you through the trade, kind of explain it a little better. The next trade that we looked at was a credit spread on Cisco stock. The stock at the time was trading $45.93, and we looked at selling the May put 45 half 45 put spread and collecting 15 cents. So collecting 15 cents on a 50 cent spread, that's roughly a 30%, you know, collection on risk. And we know that we could lose the 35 cents. So really 50 cents minus 15 cents is 35 cents. So for every put spread that we sell, we collect 15 cents, but we could lose 35 cents. Well, today the stock, this is the biggest loser for the week. The stock did not maintain its strength. It ended up falling $2.73 lower over this week. So that's a pretty significant move in stock, and lower after the earnings. So we are definitely lower than the break-even point on this trade. We definitely are in the loss. And the worst part about this is I looked at this as a possible 1 week trade to be able to try to, you know, collect some premium that was sitting out there on a stock that shouldn't have dropped so much in 1 week. And I was wrong. You know, our May put spread would have expired on Friday. Friday was May options expiration. There's no more time left to make another trade. So essentially, we turned this into a loss of 35 cents, or in real terms, $35 per spread. This was a loss. If you wanted to continue trading Cisco. You could certainly look at the June expirations, possibly selling another spread and bringing in that same premium again. The 35 cents won't be so hard to collect, but I didn't look at it too further because sometimes a loss is a loss and you take your loss and you move on, kind of refresh. So this was definitely a loss for the week, mostly because I looked at trading a 1 week option and time ran out. Most of my trades, I normally look for 4 to 6 weeks to allow a trade to mature or move, and also to make sure that I'm receiving enough premium, enough time value to make it worthwhile. But to have such a strong move in 1 week on the stock was just too much for this position. So there you have it, I lost. And then the debit spread that we looked at on Facebook, we looked at a Facebook June 180-185 call spread. We paid $3.50 for a $5 wide spread, which means that our maximum loss is $3.50. Our maximum gain is $1.50, right? So with the stock at the time was trading $186.99 or just shy of $187 per share. So this was an almost $2 in the money spread. This week, the stock fell $4.31, leaving our spread valued at $2.65. So with stock currently sitting at $182.68, the spread is basically priced right at the intrinsic value of that 180 call, the June 180 call, which we are long. So, you know, we lost money here as well. The spread that we paid for has lost 85 cents per share, or in real terms, $85. So we could close the spread out since the stock is actually below our break-even point. And to do that, I would also look at selling a call spread. You could sell a call spread against this loss, but the strikes right now are still $5 wide increments. And none of the spreads are really giving us enough premium to collect. We're not going to be able to collect enough premium to make it worth our while selling any spreads against this. So I would actually, once again, take the loss on this and walk away, move into another trade. So thankfully, you know, with making 3 trades a week, roughly 12 trades per month for this show, many of my trades have been winners. And I will be doing a May summary here in the coming days. I'll record that and make sure that I post the video. Again, I'm not hiding at all. I definitely like being held accountable. And I also want, part of the goal of this show is not to, you know, produce trades that win every time, but really it's to help you guys understand options. Because if you understand options, then typically you can find a way to either limit your loss or put yourself in a situation where you can make your money back, continue making money on a option spread that may have moved against you for the week. There's always another spread. There's always another option as long as there's still time to move forward. So that's it for this week's trades or for last week's trade review. Let's jump into this week's trade. With this Friday having been May expiration, I really felt that it was kind of difficult to find some good opportunities in the market. But I did look at a few. I looked at a number of names, but I did come out with a couple of trades that I really like. And I'll actually introduce a different strategy at the end of this section. It really comes down to this. If you understand calls and puts, if you understand what the risk sensitivities of one call and one put, then you can sort of use them like building blocks. So, you know, you move from, say, a covered call to actually selling call spreads, or maybe selling put spreads, or, you know, combining those two and putting on iron condors, or, you know, like, it all just comes down to the risk sensitivities of one option and understanding how when you add a second option to it, whether it's of the same type, meaning a call, another call, or another put, or opposite types, where you start to create, you know, things like straddles and strangles. And if any of this confuses you, don't worry. Don't even worry about that. I'm going to be actually creating a training here soon that will walk through all of the option spreads, because I really look at options sort of as Legos, and I'm trying to build a castle, and one block might fit perfectly, another block might not. It may be the wrong color, it might be, you know, in the wrong part of the castle, but one way or another, if I understand how each brick of my castle is laid, I will ultimately build a castle or a fortress that, you know, provides the financial shelter that I want. So let's dive into this week's trades. I don't want to belabor that point. The covered call we're looking at this week is on a stock called Mungo, MongoDB. It's not one that I was very familiar with, but they had a pretty nice move in their markets this previous week. And so I took a look at some of the opportunities that were available, and it looks really good. So again, MongoDB, symbol M, D as in dog, B as in boy. It's a cloud-based software as a service database platform. Trades on the NASDAQ, and the stock finished the week at $43.38. I'm looking at the June 45 call. I would sell that and collect $2 into my account. The option right now is offered at $2. So let me take a step back. The option is bid for $2, and we're going to be selling that bid. So we'd collect $2. If the stock moves on past $45, which is the 45 strike, we would end up collecting, you know, obviously keeping the $2 that we get paid for the option, as well as the additional, $1.62 in the stock. So we bring in a total of $3.62 over the next 3 weeks. That is a total of total return of 8.34%. That would also create a, you know, $2 buffer for our stock if you decide to own that stock. And that brings our break-even point down to $41.38. So this is actually the highest possible return of any of the shows that I've, any of the covered calls I've pointed out on any of the shows. And again, the risk always when you have a covered call is that the stock can move down. And when the stock moves down, you have a cushion. The amount of money that you bring in for that option creates a cushion or buffer for any loss in the stock. But once the stock goes lower than that, you're sort of you're just going to be unlimited but you know, if stock goes to zero, then you own the stock. The stock is actually the riskiest thing, the riskiest part of this. And of course, your gain is capped to the money that you bring in from the option, as well as the difference between where stock is now and the strike price that you sell it. So again, our maximum gain on this would be $3.62 if stock finishes higher than 45, and that would be an 8.34% gain for the next four weeks, before June expiration. Now, when it comes to our credit spread option, I return back to the ETFs, and I think I told you guys that I really like ETFs. When I was a trader at the CBOE back in the early 2000s, I traded both the mini NASDAQ, which was the option on the mini NASDAQ future, and we did that tied to the triple Qs, which was the ETF for the NASDAQ. I also had some time trading the ETF for the Dow, so the diamonds, and a brief period in the ETF for the S&P 500, the Spiders Index. Also did some IWM, which is the ETF for the Russell 2000 Index. So a lot of what we did was index arbitrage, which is where you try to basically find opportunities that are mathematically beneficial within various index products. So the mini NASDAQ, the triple Qs, and the big NASDAQ are all essentially derivatives on the same underlying, the NASDAQ. So if you're able to buy at a statistically lower value in one area and sell it higher in the other product, then net-net, your company makes money. And so that is what index arbitrage is. So anyway, sorry to go off on that spiel, but I like the ETFs because it removes the individual sort of functions of a company. I'm not worried about a management team. I'm typically not worried about earnings or anything that happens with the CEO or a board. This is a number of different positions all rolled into one. So looking at a credit spread in the diamonds. So again, this is the ETF on the Dow Industrials Index. Looking at, so right now on Friday, the diamonds closed at $247 per share. I'm looking at the June 249-250 call spread. So this is an out of the money call spread. I would sell it for 36 cents. And that means my maximum loss on it is 64 cents, right? This is a $1 call spread. We're going to receive 36 cents, which means that our maximum loss is the rest of that, is that spread maturing for a dollar. So if it closes for a dollar, that means, and I've received 36 cents, maximum loss is 64 cents. Maximum gain is what I receive when I sell that spread. That's 36 cents. And that also means that I have a break-even point of $249.36. So $249.36, which means if the underlying stock increases to that point before or at expiration, which is June 15th, then I will be at a loss after $249.36. So that's the credit spread. I like this spread for the week. Again, there's also time left in it. So worst comes to worst, if it does happen to move against us like the credit spread from last week, we will have plenty of time to make additional trades. So maybe we end up turning it into an iron condor by selling a put spread against it as well. So I like this. Again, selling the June 249-250 call spread, collecting 36 cents. And I'll let you know how that goes next week. And then for our final trade today, normally I only talk about one debit spread. And the way I look at it, I like to buy, if I'm going to buy a spread, I tend to buy spreads that are already in the money and that are trading for 70% or less of their value, which means that if I pay 70 cents for a $1 spread, then I still have a possibility of collecting roughly 45% on my money, you know, during that month. That's, you know, 45% in a month's pretty good return. I'll take that any day of the week. This week's, you know, with so much time left, you have, you know, a few weeks, 4 weeks, I believe, until June, the June 15th expiration, these spreads are actually trading, and the stock that I'm going to mention are trading at closer to 30% of value. And I love that, because if they're trading for 30% of value, that means that we have the possibility of that in the money spread, you know, finishing and us keeping the other 70%, which leads to, you know, if you make 70 cents and you pay 30 cents, you know, it's over 200, it's about a 200% return on your money. So love that every day of the week, especially for 1 month of risk. So looking at XLF, which is the ETF on the financial sector in the S&P. So it includes all the investment banks, but it also includes things like, you know, companies like GE, other companies that have a large financial component. They're also in this ETF. So pretty much anything with a true financial or credit exposure that's in the S&P 500 is in this ETF, XLF. X-Ray Larry Fred. So with XLF trading for $27.95 at the end of the week, I'm looking at buying the June 23-24 call spread for 30 cents. This is a $1 call spread. So my maximum loss right now is 30 cents, the amount of money that I pay for the spread. And my maximum gain is the difference between that spread value and the money that I pay. So it's a $1 spread, you know, 23-24, $1 difference, and we're paying 30 cents on it. So that means my maximum gain is 70 cents. So again, that's a really great return on that money. As well, my break-even point on it is $23.30. So stock is just a nickel away from trading $28 for it to drop all the way down to $23.30. Would be roughly 16.5% drop in price. Now, I looked at the range that this stock has had over the last 30 days. The closing prices have been only 50 cents. On May 18th, of course, Friday, it was $27.95. On April 18th, it was $27.45. So that's only 50 cents in closing for the month. But what I wanted to do was look at the true, like the high and low range of these of this stock over the last month. The high was $28.45 and the low that it traded was $26.46. So it had nearly a $2 range, or roughly 7.12% range. This stock would have to move 16.5%, or you know, a little more than twice as much to make this spread out of the money. So I like those odds. So I'm gonna buy this spread and hopefully make, you know, a little more than 200% on my money over the next 4 weeks. So that's pretty good, I think. Hopefully that excites you too. If it doesn't, you might be focused on the wrong thing. 200% in 4 weeks. I'm also, so this is the addition. It's rare that I will do this, but I also looked at the put spreads. I looked at the in-the-money put spreads to see if there are any values there as well. And there is one, one that I really liked, the June 34-35 put spread. I can buy that spread, meaning I would buy the June 35 put and I would sell the June 34 put. That put spread right now is trading for 35 cents, right? So I can buy it for 35 cents, which means that my maximum gain on it is 65 cents. My maximum loss is 35 cents. So break-even point would be $34.65, right? If because it would have to go lower than that 35. Remember, puts increase in value when they go lower. And this is significantly, this put is, I mean, the 35 put right now is almost $6 in the money. Look, actually, it's $6.05 in the money right now. I'm sorry, apparently I can't do math this morning. It's $7.05 in the money right now. So I like this spread. Stock would have to rise all the way to $34.65 for me to lose money on this spread. So again, it would take on this side, it would actually have to make a bigger move than the fall. It would have to rise, you know, about 24%. And this is still on the XLF. So we're talking about a stock that has had a range, you know, high to low range of roughly 7%, you know, on the stock, $2 range. This stock would really have to run. And it's an index, which means that for an index to have a run like that would be very significant. So I'm comfortable actually doing both of these trades, and I'm looking forward to reporting on it. But my plan is to purchase both the June 23-24 call spread and the 34-35 put spread. I'm going to pay a total of 65 cents, hoping to capture a total of $1.35 over the next 4 weeks, which leads to a 207% return on my risk capital over the next 4 weeks. So that is it for this show for the week. Hopefully you guys followed along and enjoyed that. I hope you take advantage of some of these opportunities. Again, if you have any questions, feel free to reach me. My email address is eric@theweeklyoption.com. Thanks a lot. Have a great week. Happy trading. Thank you for listening to the Weekly Option Podcast. Please subscribe to our show and visit us at www.theweeklyoption.com. Disclaimer, there is a very high degree of risk involved in trading. The indicators and strategies described in this podcast are for educational purposes only and should not be construed as investment advice. For our full disclaimer, visit our website at www.theweeklyoption.com.